97.5 The Fanatic.
101 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob Motti with you. Connor Thomas taking your calls, producing the show. 610-632-0975. We got a lot on the table today to discuss with the Sixers losing last night in a game coming up tonight against Miami. I called it a bad loss. Some people thought I overreacted. Tell me why. I still think it's a bad loss. You can't convince me otherwise. We're talking about the Eagles-Giants with a huge game tomorrow. Think they win this football game. Jordan Howard's coming back. Zach Ertz is out now. So the banged-up offense continues to lose guys, even though you're getting Jordan Howard back, and now your running back situation is a little bit better with Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, and Jordan Howard, as opposed to Jay Ajayi, who gave them nothing. You're losing your number one receiver, your number one target in Zach Ertz. So it's Carson Wentz and the practice squad guys, and really all he has is Greg Ward, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. They added Deontay Burnett. They got Rob Davis, who they added earlier. Dallas Goedert stepped up, had a big game last week, and Josh Perkins, and now they brought back Richard Rodgers, a tight end. It's going to be a tough task for this Eagles team. They're playing a bad defense, so that's going to help them. The Eagles defense struggles on the road. I think they win this football game, but I don't see a blowout. And if you're that confident in this game, tell me why. I didn't get into in the first hour, and I wanted to. I don't really want to get into this tomorrow during the pre-game show that I'm going to do here, because it should be all about the game, but not looking ahead. But I hear a lot of people who would rather face Seattle because their running back situation is so banged up that they had to go out and bring Marshawn Lynch back. And it's going to come down to the Eagles will face the loser of the San Francisco-Seattle game tomorrow. One's going to win a division, and one of those teams is going to finish as a wild card team with the number 5 seed, and the Eagles will have the 4 seed, now assuming the Eagles win the division. So assuming the Eagles win the division, you're going to face Seattle or San Francisco. I'd rather face San Francisco. I'd rather face the rookie quarterback than Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson has never lost to the Eagles, beat them again this year, and as banged up as they are, Russell Wilson, to me, is a dangerous quarterback in a big game. Now, I know it'll be on the road. It'll be West Coast coming to East Coast, but so is San Francisco. And Jimmy Garoppolo's never played in a playoff game. He's been part of Patriot teams, but he hasn't started or played in a playoff game. So I look at that and I go, that's one huge factor for me. Seattle's home tomorrow. They're a home underdog against San Francisco. I just feel more comfortable with this team going against Jimmy Garoppolo and that offense than going against Russell Wilson. As banged up as they are going to be one-dimensional, but most teams are one-dimensional against the Eagles. And with the secondary issues that the Eagles have, that's how I look at it. So we can get into that too as well, assuming the Eagles, of course, win the football game, which I think they should. If you don't think they're going to win that game, I want to hear your explanation why. 610-632-0975. The other football topic we have today is the NFL put out there that they did the all 100 team, the 100 year anniversary. They did all the positions. The big reveal at the end was the quarterbacks last night, and the quarterback list comes out, and the quarterback list had some omissions that had some people really debating heavily. So in case you missed it, in alphabetical order, it's Sammy Ball, Tom Brady, John Elway, Brett Favre, Otto Graham, Peyton Manning, Dan Marino, Joe Montana, Roger Staubach, and Johnny Unitas. Now, keep in mind, I didn't know this, Connor. Voting was conducted in May 2018. So that means that's two more seasons of Drew Brees and two more seasons of Aaron Rodgers that were not included. So there's that for those who think those two guys were omissions. So I wanted to know from you, if there was one guy left off the list and you had to pick only one guy off the list that was left off, who would it be, and who would you take off the 10 to include your guy? Now, the only criteria I have is the guy that you want to put on the list has to be someone you watched, and the guy you want to take off has to be someone you watched play in your lifetime. So I can't take Sammy Ball, Otto Graham, Roger Staubach or Johnny Unitas off. Connor, you know who I'm taking off?
Who are you taking off, Rob?
I'm going with Brett Favre. I'm going with Brett Favre, and I debated this last night. I mentioned it. I talked to Josh over it. I thought Drew Brees should be on there. I'm taking Brett Favre off, and I'm putting Drew Brees on. And to me, it comes down to this. Drew Brees is a better caretaker of the football than Brett Favre is. Brett Favre, we know as the old gunslinger, he's had some interceptions in big playoff games that I thought you just can't do. And I know he's a lovable, fun character, all that great stuff. And he had all these records and he played all these years. Well, Drew Brees has more passing yards, more touchdowns, a much better quarterback rating, a higher completion percentage, and he takes care of the football. Both guys also have a Super Bowl ring. And in Drew Brees' case, yes, I know the knock against him is, well, stats are inflated because he plays inside a dome and they're passing even more now than they did back then. No, the eras aren't that far removed. So I would take Drew Brees and put him on the list and take Brett Favre off. How about you?
Yeah, you got a lot of angry people up in Wisconsin right now.
Yeah. And I like Brett. I like Brett, but I would have to I can't take off one of the guys I didn't see, and I'm not taking off Dan Marino. I wanted to name a kid after Marino. He's my favorite quarterback growing up.
Then you're really not going to like where I'm going with this.
No.
So I might have to break your rule because I haven't been around the block as much. I haven't seen as many of these guys play. For me,
how old are you, Connor?
I'm 25. 25 this October. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to break that rule because that excludes like 70% of the list for me. Looking at Marino versus Brees, because Brees is the guy you got to have on there. I mean,
okay.
The record for
so
touchdowns, yards, everything that he does. Yeah, even despite the voting back in 2018, he was still on the path to breaking all these records. You could easily project that out with how they throw the ball down there. Marino, it's weird with this top 100 players list, but he never won a ring.
Yeah.
That's always going to be a knock on him. That's always a tough thing. He also, for touchdowns, 420 in his career. It was a different game passing-wise, but Brees blows him out of the water at this point. I'm not sure exactly where Brees would have been at the point of voting, but I'm sure he was above that. He blows him out, and he has less interceptions. Brees is still playing. So Brees has, I think it's 237 for the career. Marino finished with 252. He does have that dome instance where it's a little bit easier to protect the ball, but I mean, Marino played down in Miami. It doesn't rain very often down there. You just came back from Florida yourself. You know how the weather can be. So it's hard to keep Brees off, and Marino, without having the ring, with the stats a little bit lower than Brees, he's the guy I'm taking off there.
All right, so then for you, it comes down to those two. So make your case, Marino over my guy. I'm taking off Brett Favre. See, I'm not taking off, and I think part of that is I grew up watching Dan Marino. He was like my favorite quarterback growing up. So I look at it a little bit more biased when it comes to Dan Marino. But comparing him to Brett Favre, same argument, you say? Favre's stats are better. Favre won a ring and Dan didn't.
Yeah, exactly. And again, I didn't see Marino play. I wasn't around to watch Marino play. I've seen highlights. I remember Brett Favre, obviously. I remember him and his duels with McNabb back when the Eagles were making those runs at the NFC Championship games in the four straight and everything, running into him every once in a while. Favre was one of those unbelievable talents athletically at the quarterback position too, the scrambling, the escapability, just that pull a rabbit out of a hat type of plays that he does. He's a gunslinger, so that's why the stats are where they are. But again, it's the number of touchdowns thrown, the fact that he has that ring. We talked about the weather a little bit earlier when we were comparing Favre and Brees. I mean, Favre did it up in Green Bay in negative degree weather. Marino spent his time down in Miami. So I'm still keeping Favre on there, and Marino's got to go for me.
All right, Connor. He makes his case. Let me hear yours. Who do you take off? Who do you put on? My guy is Brett Favre. I'm taking off. I know it's crazy to say, but top 10 quarterbacks of all time, and because I haven't watched 40% of them, four of them, right? I haven't seen four of these guys. It only, for me, it comes down to I can only go Brady, Elway, Favre, Peyton, Dan Marino, Joe Montana. And I'm taking Favre off, and I'm putting Drew Brees on. So we'll continue the conversation with that, too, as well. Baseball Hall of Fame voting, NFL Top 100. I got some tough decisions with the Baseball Hall of Fame voting. I knew I'd get some some locals, Phillies fans who want to get Bobby Abreu elected. I think Scott Rolen has an even better case. And I know fans in Philly don't really like Scott Rolen because of the way his career here in Philadelphia ended. But if you look at it and you take a really strong, hard look at Scott Rolen's whole Hall of Fame credentials, he's got an even better case than Bobby Abreu. I have to cast my ballot by Monday, and I'm looking to debate it with you. If there's a guy on there that you want to make your case for, let me hear. If there's a guy on there that you think I absolutely should not vote for, let me hear that as well. And, of course, some Sixers and Eagles, 610-632-0975. Will is on the cell, wants to talk some NFL. You're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Will?
Hey, I wanted to call in. I think the all-decade team thing has really gotten me thinking. I can't see a world where Brett Favre is on an all-time quarterback list and Dan Marino isn't. So I disagree with the point that I think your producer made there. I also think that I know Drew Brees has the stats, but when you watch them play and you look at some of the more advanced stuff that they've started doing and with NFL quarterbacks, I do think that Aaron Rodgers overall is a better quarterback than Brett Favre.
I don't agree.
I know there's like the more legendary figure in Green Bay, but I still think that if you look at
you're going Rodgers over Brett Favre.
Absolutely, yeah.
I don't know that I can argue that, man. I don't think I can argue that. They've both won a ring. Aaron Rodgers is the far more talented quarterback than Brett Favre. He doesn't have the longevity yet, and he's hurt by the fact that he had to wait around and robbed him of, what was it, 1, 2, 3 years of his career where he didn't do anything. So his numbers could be well over 55,000 yards. Right now he's only at 46. Touchdowns, he's at 362. He could be in the 420s if he played those years. I can't argue against that, Will. If you want to take Brett Favre off and put Aaron Rodgers on there, I think I would agree with that.
I also think you have to look at, I know the passing stats are a little bit inflated, but he still has the greatest passer rating. He's number one in passer rating in NFL history. And I can't see a world where there are 10 people who are better quarterbacks over the course of his career that are better than the guy with the number one pass rating in NFL history.
And Will, the thing I like to boil it down to is this. If I had to win a game tomorrow, I would go Aaron Rodgers over Brett Favre, because Aaron Rodgers, we talk about, I mentioned how Drew Brees takes care of the football. I don't know if anyone does it better than Aaron Rodgers. Only 83 career interceptions. Only two seasons where he was in the double digits. 362 touchdowns to 80. He's not going to turn it over. Brett Favre is a turnover machine in big games.
Totally agree.
All right, man. Thanks, Will. Appreciate the call. You have a great rest of your weekend. Let's get to Brian in Doylestown wants to talk NFL as well. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Brian?
Hey, thanks for having me on, Rob, man. Great show as usual.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. You're one of my favorite hosts, but I got to disagree with you on this one, man.
Sure.
I think that the error right now with all the passing yards and everything is huge. It's a huge aspect of creating that list, because everybody's putting up numbers right now with the rules and everything. You can't touch the quarterbacks, you can't touch the receivers.
True. So, you're right.
So I feel like
that's why this whole thing is really difficult to do, because the errors are. I think the only way you can really, Brian, accurately, like, you got to look at the guys in this same era, and you got to go Drew Brees versus Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning versus Joe Montana. Joe Montana's got to be in the Dan Marino era. These guys have to be in their era. Brett Favre is in the John Elway era. You're right. It's very difficult.
Exactly, 100%. And one guy who I wanted to put on the list. Not to get like racial or anything, but like Warren Moon made a huge impact on influencing black quarterbacks. You know what I mean? When he played, where he basically wasn't really even drafted when he had the skill set to be drafted. He had to play in Canada. He put up numbers up there, and he came down and put up numbers in the NFL when he did get a chance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he came here at age 28. So we talk about Aaron Rodgers having a late start. At least Aaron Rodgers got started in the NFL at 25 when he first made his first career start. Warren Moon didn't get here until he was 28.
100%. And the social impact that that had also aside from that, you know what I mean? And you figure his numbers, when you look at it, are, if you look at averages, are probably comparable to Dan Marino. So, you know, around there.
You know what? When we get off, I'll compare the two guys for you, all right?
Absolutely, man.
The one guy, though, if you want to, like, I would want to argue for, and I can't put him in the top 10, but I always try and make this argument. I don't vote for NFL Hall of Fame. I only vote for Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. But if I voted for NFL, I would be pounding the door for Randall Cunningham. I just thought that's a guy who changed the position. I know there were running quarterbacks like Staubach and Tarkenton before that, but really, Randall was the guy who paved the way for the quarterbacks who can run. So you can argue somewhat for him. Brian, appreciate the call.
Absolutely. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
You got it. Take care. He wants to compare Warren Moon to Dan Marino. Now we're talking about Dan Marino is my that's my guy. That's my all-time. Dan Marino and Joe Montana were my all-time favorite as a kid growing up. And, of course, Randall growing up in a city and sitting in a 700 level. Warren Moon, he didn't get started in the NFL till he was 28. He did end up playing till he was 44, but his last and he started a game in Kansas City in 2000 as a 44-year-old, one game. His final year as a full-time starter, he was 42 years old. He ended up throwing for 49,325 yards. Dan Marino's 61,000. Let's go how many games started. 240 for Marino and 203 for Warren Moon. So Marino still hasn't beat by 37 games started, so that's why his numbers are going to be higher. Only 291 touchdowns for Warren Moon, 420 for Marino. Passer rating, Marino was 86.4, Warren Moon 80.9. I can't argue for Warren Moon ahead of Dan Marino, but I understand what Brian was talking about there with the social impact and things like that that were very important at that position. 610-632-0975. So we've got Sixers and Eagles to talk about, but some of these other interesting topics, that the one with the NFL Top 100 and the other with the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame voting, I get so much feedback once I post my ballot that I decided this year, before I reveal my ballot and finalize my selections, I want to put it out there and have people give me their thoughts and their opinions, try and sway me one way or another. Everyone tries to do it after the fact, after I've revealed my ballot. And I'll go back to several years ago, I even got some idiotic death threats from Houston because I didn't vote for Craig Biggio one year when I just had 10 other guys ahead of him. I thought he was a Hall of Famer, and I couldn't get to him that year. I voted him in the next year. I was just happy that year Biggio missed by two, not by one, and I wasn't the one that didn't vote for him. But if you have someone on a ballot that you really want to vote for, or someone that you think should be left off, this is your opportunity over the course of the rest of this afternoon. I'm here till 4, 610-632-0975. Make your case. Make your case for it. I'm here to listen. I want to hear from you. Dave in Center City wants to talk football. You're on the Fanatic. What's up, Dave?
Rob, Bone and Mattel, El Mio Mico. How are you?
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that.
Before we get into the Eagles... by the way, for those who are counting, the last 3 years under Dougie Pete, from Thanksgiving weekend to New Year's Eve, if we could use those 2 points of demarcation.
I like that.
They are 12-3 with one game remaining. And Rob, I'm not counting that debacle where Nate Sudafed couldn't move the ball against
the six nothing loss.
Yeah. And by the way, there were only 3 6-0 scores in the history of the NFL.
Is that right, Dave? Wow.
Yeah. So Robert, and a 4-1 playoff mark. So I was a political science major But I could add, at 16-4, so this guy's doing a David Copperfield. He's waving a magic wand. I do believe we have 5 football games left.
Wow.
I don't want to put the cart before the horse. And let's jump back to Brett Favre, which you were talking about. And we have a gentleman that is a quarterback for the Eagles right now who is so Brett Favre-esque right now, which could be a sorrow but a joy.
Although he takes care of the football far better than Brett Favre ever did.
Yeah, I mean, like Rob, I think about, like, Packers were 10-point favored against Green Bay in against Denver in that Super Bowl. And I know Gilbert Brown and Reggie White were sucking wind by the third period in that desert. But Brett Favre is kind of find a way to win that game. I think of him when he was a Vikings quarterback. And was it overtime or were they gone to overtime in the snow, the Giants? And he just tried to squeeze a football.
Yep.
Okay. So, you know, for every positive, I could say, oh, God, you covered Seattle, right? You remember Seattle came to Green Bay in the divisional playoff game and Brett Favre lit them up 48-20 in the snow?
Yeah. I also remember, Dave, when Brett Favre lost to Michael Vick and the Atlanta Falcons in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And Lambeau.
Yeah. Hey, what do you see the Eagles doing? I got them going to the Super Bowl, and I say that for many reasons. What do you foresee happening?
Dave, I think they win tomorrow, and I think they have a real legitimate chance to win next week against San Fran or Seattle. I prefer San Francisco because of the inexperience of Garoppolo. Russell Wilson concerns me, so I'd rather see San Francisco here. But either way, I think they could win that game.
Okay. 49ers come here. We defeat them. I would love to see the 6th seed advance. And we go on the road.
Oh, man. If the Minnesota advances, now you get a home field in the NFC Championship game. Is that what you're setting up for?
Yeah.
Hey, that's asking a lot, Dave. I appreciate the call, my man. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
As always, 610-632-0975. He's got the confidence. Hey, you got to appreciate that confidence. You got to appreciate that positive energy that he brings. He's got him going all the way to Super Bowl. I don't see that happening. Not this year. There's too many holes and flaws on this football team. But we don't have to look that far ahead. Let's go one week at a time. Let's go one game at a time and enjoy each week as it comes. Big football game tomorrow. Talking about that. All things with the NFL Top 100, the quarterback, Major League Baseball Hall of Fame, Sixers, whatever you got. I'm here. 610-632-0975. Rob Motti, 975, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
30 on 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Rob Motti. 610-632-0975. Tomorrow morning, I'll be here at 9:01 getting you set for the Eagles-Giants game. Then I'm going to be heading down to MetLife Stadium. We'll go over that stat again because, Connor, you brought it up. But let me tell everybody, after I'm on 9:01, then it's the Fanatic pregame show. Join Brian Westbrook, Trey Thomas, Jason Avant, and Devon Givens tomorrow starting at 1 p.m. for the Fanatic pregame show live from the beautiful new Parks Casino Sportsbook. So that's tomorrow at 1. Now, last week, much to my dismay, I had to miss the Eagles game. Yeah, I was in beautiful, rainy Florida for a couple days. For a week, it was rained a couple. It was nice a few. So I missed the Eagles-Cowboys game. In my 20 years covering the Eagles for AP, I've now missed four regular season home games. I've covered 156 out of the 160 over the 20 years. In those four games, the Eagles are now 4-0. So, Connor, there were some people who wanted to start a GoFundMe, you know, get me to move to Florida, which I'm all for. There's a beautiful beach house that we like. I think it's approximately $755K, somewhere around there. So if you can get a GoFundMe up in that range, I'm all for it. I'll move down there. I'll go cover the Tampa Bay Bucks and Tampa Rays, and I'll live happily ever after. And I'll stay far from everybody's Eagles here, so I don't have to cover. But I don't know if the GoFundMe is going to get that high for me to leave. So I'm back, and I'm going tomorrow. But here's the thing. That stat does not apply to road games. It doesn't apply to playoff games. That stat was only regular season home games where the Eagles are undefeated when I'm not there. They did win a Super Bowl while I was in Minneapolis covering a game. So, hey, I was there, press box, row one, seat one for Super Bowl Eagles win. So, actually seat two. My boss was in one. I think I was 1-2. So, I was there for the Eagles victory. So they've had. I was also at I guess it was Giant Stadium, not MetLife Stadium back then. It was the playoff game where the Eagles in 08 went in as a wild card, got in on the final game of the season, went in as a wild card, went to the playoffs as the sixth seed, beat Minnesota, then went to New York, North Jersey, to play the Giants. I hate saying went to New York because it's not New York. It's North Jersey. I don't have to pay the $27,000 toll or whatever it is to go through the tunnel or everything else. You get off and exit earlier. Anyway, they went to North Jersey against the number one seed Giants, who were defending Super Bowl champions. And Asante Samuel had, I believe, a pick six, and the Eagles beat the Giants and then went to Arizona as a road favorite in the NFC Championship game and lost. So, I've had some success in the playoff games. Anyway, yeah, I'm back. I'll be there tomorrow. It's going to be a tough game, I believe, for the Eagles, but I think they pull this one out 27-24. Jake Elliott's missed now he's 6 for 10. He's missed 4 field goals since he got a contract extension. And two of those last week were 50-plus yards, 53 and 55, Connor, right? 53 and 55?
Yeah, that's right. His pockets are too heavy. He's got all that extra change sitting around. Can't swing the leg the same way.
So I think it comes down to him tomorrow, man. I think it comes down to him tomorrow. The pressure won't be as – it'll be on because it'll be a tie game and he makes a field goal to win it. It's more pressure if you're down two, down one, tie, or down three and you got to tie it, but –
correct me if I'm wrong, though. I think he hit a walk-off against the Giants. What?
That was the 60...
little memorable. 61.
61.
Yes, sir. I was in the building to see that. That was week three, the home opener. Yeah. About 100 degrees on the field level. Yes. And he almost kicked that ball out of the stadium.
And to set that up, remember the bullet that Carson threw to Alshon right at the sideline, right? Was it at the sideline?
Yeah,
it was.
Right at the sideline going out of bounds. Got the toe drag. I mean, coming up to this year, maybe to... I can't even think of one big one they had this year. That was the most clutch catch that Carson's gotten besides the Super Bowl. Well, the Super Bowl's full. So, yeah, that's the most clutch catch
that was.
Carson ever got. I think
it was a 17-yard gain. For some reason, that number stands out, but it set up that 61-yard field goal. And tomorrow, that catch will be made by maybe Deontay Burnett, maybe Greg Ward, maybe Rob Davis, maybe Josh Perkins.
Maybe Josh McCown.
Oh, my goodness. It's going to be – this is what it's come down to. You got Carson and the practice squad. No Zach Ertz now. Dallas Goedert is your most experienced wide receiver. Well, not wide receiver. He's a tight end, but he's your go. He becomes your go-to guy tomorrow. And with the defense the way it is, I think the Eagles will struggle a little bit. Because the Giants can score some points, but I think ultimately they win a football game. How about you?
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I actually don't think it's going to be as close of a game as you think it is. So the Giants, they have that whole element of playing to knock the Eagles out. But once you get up on them, they're going to quit real, real quick. They don't have enough motivation to come back in the game.
But you think they get up on them?
You know, they're going to come out hot. Dougie P has shown if there's anything he can do, he can motivate his guys to come out and win a must-win game. It's a must-win game. Carson's been playing out of his mind. They put up 10 on Dallas in the first half, which, I mean, it's not a crazy amount looking at the rest of the league, but how the Eagles normally do in the first quarter, first half, that's a good showing. And I think they come out, get up early, get up two scores, and just bury him.
Well, They are 10-1 in must-win games. I did the numbers, and you're right. He gets them motivated for these games. They don't lose these games except for the playoff game in New Orleans. But you go back to 2017. They cruised in 2017 to an number one seed. They didn't have a must-win game all regular season. Every game, I mean, you could look at that Rams game where Carson got hurt as a game they had a win for playoff for the number one seed, right? But I can't qualify that as a must-win because you're still in the playoffs. So what I did to look at must-win is looked at games where if they lose, they're either done or their chances become so difficult where they got to rely on more than one team losing. So in 2017, they only had three scenarios where it was do or die, and it was the playoff games. They went 3-0. They won a Super Bowl. Last year, after they were 6-7, they had to win out. They had to win out and get at least one team to lose, and that was the Minnesota Vikings. They won out, got the Vikings to lose, got in, and went 1-1 in the playoffs. So they were 3-0 and then 1-1. And then this year, they, after losing to Miami, they still had control of their playoff hopes. All they had to do is win out. They've won three of them. So that's 3-3-3, and then the playoff game last year, 10-1 in games they absolutely have to win. And that's why I feel they find a way to win the game tomorrow, as depleted as they are. And it's going to be one of those games where, you know, I think it's going to be back and forth. Offense is scoring. What's your final score?
I'm going to go. I think they're going to give up touchdowns because the Giants sling the ball. They're going to go out there and they know, just like they did when they saw him a couple weeks ago, they're going to need those long chunk touchdowns to score against his defense. So I think the Giants will put up two scores, get 14, 31-14 Birds.
Wow, you got a 17-point win. So you got a 17-point win. E called earlier. He had a 25-point win.
He might have been hopped up on that barbecue sauce from Famous Dave's. Man. I don't know where he's getting that from,
yeah.
But I do think they win this pretty comfortably.
You both have comfortable wins. I want to hear from people out there. Do you think it's going to be as comfortable as Connor's saying, as E said earlier? I think it's going to be close down to a final field goal. What's your confidence level going into tomorrow? What concerns do you have going into tomorrow? I know there's people who are worried about Jordan Howard coming back and messing up the running back rotation. That's not a problem. Jordan Howard's going to be, he'll be out there in probably short yardage, goal line situations, maybe some red zone, maybe even two back sets. He's not going to go in there and mess up Miles Sanders' flow. 610-632-0975. So we'll talk Eagles. We got Sixers, Hall of Fame voting. Listen, don't complain to me about the ballot after I reveal it. This is your opportunity over the course of the next 2 hours plus to tell me who you think I should vote for and who I shouldn't. Quarterback list, too, to take a guy off, put a guy on. Man, Breeze and Rodgers, I went with Breeze, slight edge over Rodgers to put on there and take Favre off. That's a tough one. There's a lot to discuss with that, too, as well. 610-632-0975. All right, when we come back, I mentioned this a little bit earlier. I need some advice regarding my future trips to Florida. So I'm going to have to solicit some advice. Connor, I'm going to have to ask you, and I'm going to have to ask everybody else. 610-632-0975. We got some open lines. I'm Rob Motti on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back to the Rob Motti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. So there's a I didn't notice Tobias Harris last night getting injured. Did you, Connor? He's listed as questionable for tonight with injury, illness, right hip soreness. This can't be load management. This got to be legitimate, don't you think? Tobias being questionable tonight. Bolden, there's nobody listed on. Miami has yet to submit it. It's supposed to be submitted by 1:30. So I'm looking on the league's website right now, and it's got Tobias Harris listed tonight as questionable, injury, illness, right hip soreness. And, of course, Matisse Thybulle is out. So I didn't. Did you see him get hurt at all last night?
No, I didn't. They were still out there chucking up threes like nobody's business at the end. He seemed fine. I don't know where that came from.
And they don't do load management with Tobias Harris.
No, certainly absolutely not.
So it's got to be legit. But Joel Embiid's not on it. So he's not on this one. So if they're thinking of sitting him in a sec, and I don't think they are tonight, but if they were, he would have had to be, you would think he would have had to be on a 1:30. They still have to submit one more at 5:30. So you get the, is it 5 or 5 p.m.? 5 p.m. the day before a game, and then the day of the game, 1:30, 5:30, and 8:30. So the 1:30 injury report is out, and Tobias Harris is on it, listed as questionable for tonight's game. 610-632-0975. I put out, and I didn't get one yet, but I put out a call to my Carson Wentz detractors, who I've had a battle with all year long, who I've had to sit here through the rough games and the rough moments and the tough times and hear from you. When they lose to the Patriots, when they lose to Seattle and he turns the ball over, even when they beat the Jets and there was still criticism, when they beat the Packers and somehow there was unwarranted criticism. And I've been called an apologist, and I've been called this and that. I'm waiting for my apologies. I'm waiting for the apology for calling me an apologist. By the way, I wanted to compare Carson Wentz. Just a little. He's been saying, there was a caller earlier who mentioned Brett Favre and Carson. And saying, Brett Favre's first four seasons, 108 touchdowns, 64 interceptions. Carson Wentz's first four seasons, 96 touchdowns, 35 interceptions. Passer rating, 92.7. Old Gunslingers was 87.4. 610-632-0975. If you want to apologize for calling me an apologist and tell me, hey, Rob, you know what? You were right about Carson. He is a franchise quarterback. I was impatient. I was wrong. I jumped the gun. Didn't appreciate what we have here. I want to hear from you. I want to hear about the game tomorrow. What you think about the game tomorrow? I got a close, hard-fought victory, but a victory nonetheless. Who do you want to see in the first round in 2 weeks? I like to see San Francisco over Seattle, but either way, I do think the Eagles can win that game. As a 4-5 seed, I think the Eagles can win that game. The NFL, it's coming down. Other than Baltimore has locked up the 1 in the AFC, the Vikings have the 6. There's a lot of playoff positioning that is up in the air. In the NFC, 1 through 3 are still up there. 1, 2, 3, and 5. And even 4, because it's still going to be either the Eagles and the Cowboys. But you got San Fran, Seattle, Green Bay, New Orleans, all with a possibility to have home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Now, if you're an Eagle fan, I would rather San Fran get the 1, because that's the team you would want to have to. I would prefer to play San Francisco on the road as opposed to Green Bay again, as opposed to Seattle for sure, or New Orleans. To me, it would be San Francisco on the road. Other than those three, none of them are good options. San Fran, of the 4, I believe is the best option for the Eagles. They got to get past tomorrow's game, but just looking ahead slightly. And we could do that today. Jim's on a sell. He wants to talk Eagles. You're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Jim?
Rob, you're showing uncommon wisdom, in my opinion, by wanting San Francisco next week as opposed to Seattle. Like I said to a host earlier, how many more times must Seattle and Russell Wilson beat us before we just get it into our heads? Well, maybe we can't beat this team, at least now.
Anyway. Are you saying I'm in a minority too, Jimmy?
Yeah, I mean, most of these bettors are stone-cold idiots. I mean, I'm watching you. You remember the Rams-Dallas game?
Yes.
Everybody and every distant relative bet on the Rams, and look what happened. The same thing is happening right in front of me here. I mean, this line is up to like 3.5 or 4 points. Give me Russell Wilson at home as a home underdog all night against San Francisco.
Yeah, I don't care what the running back situation is. It comes down to Russell Wilson versus Jimmy Garoppolo. Seattle's home in that game. I'm with you. I'm taking Russell Wilson.
Now, I'm going to give it, being that you mentioned, I was just hearing you talking about looking ahead. This is the path that I think the Eagles are going to take to the Super Bowl game. They're going to, of course, beat San Francisco. That will send them to New Orleans because the Vikings, who are a team I think are going to do quite well in the postseason, are going to beat Seattle, sending them to Green Bay. And then I think that we are going to host the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, how beautiful would that be?
And here's something even more beautiful. Carson Wentz will get a shot at the AFC champion New England Patriots. And how cool is that going to be?
That was my preseason prediction, Jimmy. I had the Eagles getting in as a 2 or a 3 and having to win in New Orleans in the NFC Championship. That was my preseason prediction. I don't. It's far fetched right now. You think it's going to happen? I love it. I love the positivity. I know you're a baseball guy. I want to give you an opportunity. Is there a guy on the ballot you want to make a case for before I turn in my Hall of Fame ballot on Tuesday?
Not really, Rob, but I would like to make a broad blanket statement. When
sure.
it comes to the Hall of Fame, if I was had the privilege of a vote like you, I don't look at numbers. Like that guy that called before comparing Jesus' numbers to Bobby Abreu, that's for accountants. I watch sports. When I watch Derek Jeter play baseball, I ask myself, am I watching a great baseball player? Yes, I was. When I was watching Bobby Abreu play baseball, was I watching a great baseball player? No, I wasn't. I was watching a very good baseball player. To me, Rob, the Hall of Fame is for great and great only.
That's what happens. It comes down to a lot of Hall of Fame versus Hall of Very Good, and you make a very good point. And hey, let's hope you're right about the Eagles, Jimmy. Have a great one.
And Rob, like Anthony Gargano says so well a lot of times, you could make numbers dance. I mean, you can spin doctor numbers to whatever agenda you have. I mean, to me, I mean, this is about watching sports, baseball, football, et cetera. I mean, numbers, I leave the numbers. I mean, numbers people to me are boring, nerdy people that I really don't have time to hang with. I mean,
the analytics guys.
I scoff every time I hit. Now, real quick before you let me go, I agree with you as far as this game. The Eagles are going to win a nail biter. I originally said 38-34. I may have to dumb that down as far as the total because of the weather. But, I mean, this defense doesn't travel on the road.
No,
I mean,
they don't.
We're going to score like crazy against the Giants, even as depleted as we are. It's going to be a fun game. Mucho lead changes. Carson Wentz is going to pull this game out. And all these worms that won't call and apologize to you, I will act as their attorney right now. Rob Motti, I'm sorry my clients are losers that live in their mother's basement and don't own... And don't own something when they claim. If you want to make your statements about Carson, own it and come forth and come clean and say, look, I was wrong. At the time, it seemed like the correct way of thinking, but I was flat out wrong. We haven't heard from one of them, so I'm their attorney.
Thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate it. Enjoy the game. Have a great weekend and Happy New Year. And he, on their behalf, Jimmy and Mount Holly says, they are sorry. I just one person. I'm just waiting for one person. Because I heard it from you. I was here for almost every post game show this year. I missed a few, but I was here for almost every post. I would be down at the link, cover the game, get back in here, and get on for the post game show. Or if they were on the road, I'd get in here and get it. And whenever they lost, no matter who dropped balls, what the offense, they, when Carson struggled, I told you he struggled. When I said when he had to be better, I told you he had to be better. And here we are. He has stepped up. He has shown and proven that he could take a bunch of practice squad guys and lead them to the brink of the NFC East title. Where is my apology? 610-632-0975. Rob Motti, 975, The Fanatic.
Hungry dogs run faster.
Hey, this is Jason Kelce, and you're listening to
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.